Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
Did you guys see After Earth?
Yeah, I saw it. That movie was fucking rocked.
Did anybody actually see it?
Did anybody see After Earth by M. Night Shyamalan?
I just played the trailer and looped it for an hour and a half, and that was pretty much like seeing it.
Did you say by Gary Glitta?
Did you see that movie? You seen that movie?
You seen that movie? What's called Predator?
It's called After Earth, and it's got, here's who's in it. It's got Will Smith. Sorry, do you guys mind if I finish enjoying this Jolly Rancher?
I thought you were going to spoil After Earth.
I'm going to do it, but I don't want to spoil the good time I'm having with this Jolly Rancher.
No, go ahead.
It's great. Thanks for asking. It's got Will Smith in it. It's got his little cub. It's got little cub Smith in it. Jaden, not so little anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If he did the intro to Just the Two of Us like he did when Big Willie Style, Will Smith's seminal album, came out, it'd be like, Dad, this is a very sensitive subject. It'd be like down there.
Mm-hmm.
Down on that octave.
Do you know, it would be in that range.
Hey, what flavor is your Jolly Rancher?
It's fucking grape. Pay attention.
Grape?
It's the only flavor that's worth putting in your mouth. Anyway, This movie's great. It's about Jaden Smith. He's killing space tigers. Four out of four stars.
Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Russ Frushtick, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Russ Frushtick, and I know the best game of the week.
Oh, God. I'm going to ask you guys a question that only the real Russ Frushtick would know.
Uh-huh. Shalom.
I don't think that was going to be the question.
What did Tony Shalhoub tell us? The day we first met Tony Shalhoub, and he saved our lives in that bus crash.
What sandwich?
He said, "Oh, psych."
Okay, that's the right answer. So the other one we have to jettison into space.
This is the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in video games, movies, tech, film, sandwiches, Tony Shalhoub. The whole nine yards.
This is our monk podcast, right?
This is our monk cast.
We're changing the name of it to Jiffy Shalhoub. Changing the title of the podcast to Jiffy Shalhoub. And it's a 5-minute long podcast just about what Shalhoub's up to.
All the Shalhoub info you need in a GIF.
Mm-hmm.
That's our slogan.
It's actually pronounced Giffy.
So guys, what have you been into this week? What's the hot new game? I've been kind of out of the loop.
I died. Justin died and is now a ghost. I don't have any games I've been playing this week. I do have a game I've been playing for like 5 weeks, and I've wanted to talk about on the podcast every single week, and have not been able to do so until just now.
Now this game is still not available, right? But it will be before our next episode. Is that
right? Right.
So it's
gonna
Neverwinter again, or is it Animal Crossing?
It's the only two games I've been. No, I've mixed some other shit into the mix, but yes, it is Animal Crossing New Leaf.
When does it come out?
It's out on Sunday.
On Sunday, so people are gonna listen on Friday and be like, "I'm hearing all the spoilers about Animal Crossing."
Well, hopefully they read my review, which spoils the shit out of the game.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert: there's apples. Maybe. There might be apples if you're
there
fortunate.
There might be apples. I have apples.
I have apples, too. What are the odds?
Like, Griffin, what's your actual best?
Yeah, what's your best?
It's the best vacation you can put in your pocket. It's Animal Crossing. I loved the game. I adore it. Like I thought I would. But I found it super difficult to write the review on this one. Because trying to talk about what makes the game enjoyable at a high level is like super difficult to do.
It sounds moronic.
It sounds moronic. You're just barfing up shitty casual buzzwords to explain what is about the game that is so addicting and so pleasant.
Yeah.
Because you say like, oh, it's every time you turn it on every day, there's like new stuff for you to find and do, and there's you can do chores for your neighbors, and you can collect furniture. And it's like, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
That sounds miserable. So I think the reason the game succeeds as much as it does is because the world that it creates is so just nice to be in. Like, it's just a nice place where everybody likes you, and the furniture is well made, and so you just kind of want to hang out there for hours at a time.
I get sort of a Minecrafty vibe from it. I feel like
it is very sandboxy.
It's
yes.
not only sandboxy, but because of the pace, is so slow and like thoughtful and mm-hmm. just like chill that whenever you play it, you know, as if you were to have a vacation, it's like sitting out on a chaise lounge and you're chill and you're picking apples and you're fishing and there's nice music playing.
And I described it as part sandbox, part Zen garden, which is like the only way I can think to describe, like, there's so much stuff for you to do to customize yourself, your house, even your town at a much larger, much more in-depth level than the series has ever really allowed, because you can build public works projects to sort of add little landmarks across your town. And some of them are, you know, functional. Some of them are new businesses, but some of them is just like, you know, a bench.
Yeah.
A clock.
I'm personally, like, I've probably sunk like almost as much time as you have, Griffin, into the game. And I enjoy it. I would say I didn't find it to be that dramatically improved over the last Animal Crossing game that I played, which was the DS one. I think it was called Wild World.
Wild World, yeah.
So, they added all these public works things, and you can customize the town and, like, put lamppost places and stuff like that. But most of them don't really impact gameplay at all. It's just a visual customization for your town. There's no, like...
They do impact it to the extent that your neighbors will request certain things, and you can fulfill those requests for them. And there's you know, tons and tons of them to procedurally unlock.
I don't know.
It also adds to your town's overall rating, which is sort of an obscure metric that they never really reveal until you have perfected it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, you know how there's that tale, and I don't know if it's true or not, that Miyamoto designs games based off of his real life, right? Like, he was in a cave, and he's like, Mario!
Yeah.
It just happened.
No, what? That was the philosopher, actually, that came up with Mario in the cave.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What I want to know is, what was going on in his life? Is this like a retirement game? Because when you talk about it, it sounds about as exciting as retirement. And this is coming
from
someone...
You've played it, right, Plant?
I played like 45 minutes, and then I'm giving myself the plane ride to E3.
Oh, that's not really the way to do it,
No,
though.
It's not.
Why? Every time I try to play this game, somebody tells me I'm playing it wrong.
You're supposed to play it every day for about 20 minutes a day.
Oh, I go way deeper than that.
Yeah, I do too. But you're supposed to play it for about...
It's actually kind of a slow burner at the very beginning. I would say for like the first 5 days, there's not enough shit to do. You gasp, but I mean, you really only have to play it like 10 minutes every day to, you know, move on to the next thing, whether it's, you know, fulfilling your mayoral application. And, you know, putting down the payment on your first house and unlocking, like, some of the new shit.
I was actually a little frustrated by that, though maybe it makes sense in the structure of the game. But I for the first few days, I actually brought it on a plane. I flew out to L.A. last week, and I brought it on the plane with me, and I kind of, like, wanted to keep playing. I was enjoying it. But you really get to a point in those first few days where there just isn't much you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, that only lasts for so long, and then it starts to border. I'm actually at a place now where it takes about 45 minutes to maybe an hour to do all the things I need to do.
What? You're crazy. No.
What do you mean? Is that not a lot or...
No, that seems like way too much. What are all the things you need to do?
I'm very thorough, Russ.
Wow.
I'm an incredible, I don't want to brag, but I'm a fucking super good mayor.
Talk to every single person in your town.
I don't do that shit, no, because they don't need to talk to, I don't need face.
You're going to the island every day?
Not as much as I used to, because again, like, I'm just so busy with work that, like, who's got time to take in some fucking leisure time?
When you say work, do you mean real life work or work in the game?
Oh, Christ, no. I haven't done any real life work since, like, February.
You've just been picking your special.
The one other, so again, I really did enjoy the game, but there were a few things.
Because I know for a fucking fact you're not done playing with it. This guy is always hitting me up like, I'm trying to get a balloon chair. Can you hook me up with a balloon chair?
I got one, though. Like, but there are a few things that drive me nuts. Like, since
how hard it is to find balloon chairs?
Yes. But also, since the beginning of the series, things like inventory and how tools work haven't changed. And they remain...
They have, you're out of your mind.
What?
One of the best things about this game is you can switch between tools just by tapping the D-pad.
This is all I want, honestly, is just icons on the bottom of the screen that signify my tools. So I don't have to, like, so much of this game I spend micromanaging my inventory. And, like, that's not fun. Just, like, once I find a shovel, assume that I have the shovel with me at all times. Like, what's the big deal with that?
I mean... You know, yeah. it's like think about this game is a simulation of real life.
Yeah.
And some might argue, including myself, the best simulation of real life ever.
And yet I can carry an entire fucking living room set in my pocket.
Right. Because it's leaves. they turn into leaves. There is some Animal Crossing magic.
Okay.
You have to imagine. You take the leaf out of your pocket.
Wait, is that what happens when you shut your DS? Everything turns into a leaf?
No, when you put things in your pot, you can take a bed, and then a wizard comes and casts a spell on it, and then it's a leaf, and then it just slides right in.
Have you ever wondered if maybe, like, it's a meta thing? Like, everything is a leaf, and you're carrying just one leaf?
That would explain the title of the game, for certain.
Yeah, because it's a new leaf.
No, it's in Japan, they call it leaf animals. I feel like I'm failing now... Using my unedited.
I don't think there's any. I tried to do it this morning. I don't think there's any way to convey why it's enjoyable.
No, but it super is, and like it is in a way that works perfectly on the 3DS. To like,
yeah, I can't play Animal Crossing on, like, I've tried playing the console ones, and to like the process of like sitting down, turning on your console, loading up the game doesn't really. It's just a pain in the ass. Whereas here, I just keep it on my desk. You know, load it up every day and play for a half hour, and then it's closed and I'm done for the day and I'll check it again tomorrow. Like, that's the best way to experience it.
And it genuinely, like, when I get stressed out at work or just in my day-to-day, like, just, I don't know, I don't talk to you guys about this much, but shit's pretty rough for me right now.
Yeah.
I just crack open the... I'm just kidding. Things are... My life couldn't be better. I just crack it open and I just, like... Just listen. I could just listen to that music. It's so soft and so nice.
I have a.
It's like an auditory ball pit.
I have a question, Griffin.
Yeah, please.
What if you wanted to play like an African American? Asked me. Like, it's weird that you're constantly like making your avatars. It's such an important thing. Yet it never asked me what I want to look like.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a great question. You do have some sort of animal that lives in your town, because I've come to visit it quite a few times, that seems to be like a bear in blackface. And
what?
I've wanted to ask you if that was something that you did, like as like a like some sort of horrible, monstrous joke.
What?
Or...
No, he just
can't remember.
He moved in. I don't know. I invite
him. He moved in and you didn't like immediately report him as a troublesome citizen?
Well, not publicly.
You didn't, like, post signs around town? Like, don't talk to this fucking creep until he leaves.
No, I didn't have enough bells for the signs, so.
That isn't... You could actually do that. That is a problem. Man, I spent so much time building an elaborate system of roads, which takes forever. And some fucking fool, some clown, is like, I'm gonna move in your town. And he did, and he built it right on top of the road.
Oh.
Right on top of an important junction in the road. I had to fucking build around this dude's house.
And there's no way to kick people out of the town.
No. I mean, I sent him letters with unflattering things.
You can also apparently push them into holes, and they don't care for that quite as much.
No. They also don't like it when there's that hole is full of scorpions.
Yeah. I don't know. I really liked it, but it feels very much like an iteration, like every year.
You think you're almost done?
No. I'm still playing it. But it doesn't tricky. I don't know. I feel like certain like ease of use things, like the tool thing and inventory management, and like maybe every time I walk into the convenience store, you don't fucking need to say, "Hey, how are you doing? What are you doing today? Hey, my name is..."
Oh, so you want to be fucking rude. You want to be rude, is what you're saying. You want to play Last of Us, not Animal Crossing, when people just fucking kill each other for canned goods.
Guess what? I live in New York City. We don't say hello to every convenience store worker as we walk in. We buy our stuff and leave.
Yeah. If you walk into the convenience store and she just puts a pickaxe through your head, right there.
That's the
takes that everything you have on you.
That's fine. That happens in New York, too.
I do wish that the tool thing irritates me, too.
Yeah, like, that's it. There's no logic behind it.
Just let me switch with, like, the shoulder buttons. The shoulder buttons aren't doing anything.
Well, I mean,
just let me switch between tools with the shoulder buttons.
You can do that with the D-pad.
What do the shoulder buttons do? Oh, a fucking camera shot that I've never used ever.
I've used it like 30 times. I have a whole gallery that's just fucking painting a picture of my life.
Okay, and the whole online thing, while it is a huge improvement from where it's been, still remains glacially behind every other video game
ever. After you do it once, it's not so bad. It's setting it up that first time. You have to fucking exchange friend codes. You have to set up a play sesh offline. Like, that stuff is inscrutable to me, because if you're already friends... If you've already taken the time to do that first step, wouldn't you just assume that you'd want to see when your friends are online?
Right.
It's crazy town. There's crazy. No,
can you mail your friends stuff? Like, is that...
I don't think you can.
See, that's like crazy. How much better would that be if I could like send Russ a letter that would be in his mailbox?
What would you send me?
Like a picture of myself, seductive. Seductive picture.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that IRL in the meat space.
You could.
The thing that I've really dug about it is just the random things that happen. Like, last night I was playing right before I went to bed because I had to get in before 11 and all the shops closed.
Yeah. You open up open up that late bird ordinance.
Yep.
And when I walked in, one of the residents of my town, I believe it was Pee Wee the Gorilla, asked me for my opinion about a tank top that he was considering buying. And then I found a duck on the beach who had washed up with no memory of where he was trying to sail to. And then asked me a skill testing geography question about where he was trying to get to. And then promised to send me a trinket from India once I helped him figure it out.
Have you guys met the sea otter that is also a philosopher?
Anytime you
can dive in this game, which is one of the new things. Anytime you dive and you find an oyster or a scallop, this sea otter appears out of nowhere, and he's a philosopher, and he's like, "Hey man, can I get that? Hey, can I just get that real quick?"
So he's a homeless otter.
I think that's the implication.
Do you think all homeless people are philosophers?
And sea otters also?
Yeah.
They're animorphs. And he takes it and he gives you a little nugget of wisdom and a little piece of furniture. It's a furniture-based economy.
Yep.
God, I love this game. Well, get it, download it digitally, and then just fucking always have it with you. I'm excited to do some street passing with folks.
Oh, E3 is going to be all
about... It's
going
to be off the chains.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal all your shit.
No.
Oh. We've talked about this for like 20 minutes.
We have.
That's way more than we needed to.
It's a super good game, though. People were asking me, I haven't played the other Animal Crossing games. Am I going to be missing anything?
Oh my
like,
God.
You fucking dummies. You will miss out on having an inherent distrust of Tom Nook.
I've been playing a game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's my award for best single sound effect of the year.
Are you going to do it for us before you...
Yeah, it's like this.
Okay.
That's the closest... Like that.
Is it like a spittoon?
It's more like a slapping noise.
Okay.
It's the sound in Gunpoint when you leap into a surface. You make a really fantastic noise when you land.
Is it like you would have like a plunger and you're climbing a wall? Like that kind of noise?
Similar to that.
Okay.
So Gunpoint is a 2D... puzzle espionage game, I guess is the best way I can describe it, where you are a spy who's usually tasked with breaking into some sort of structure and retrieving data, usually hacking into a computer or what have you, avoiding guards and that sort of thing. So your main sort of the main tool you have at your disposal is this outfit called the Bullfrog. It's a device that lets you leap much farther than any human should be able to. So sort of the hook of the critical gameplay hook of Gunpoint is the moment when you charge up your jump. You actually control the arc of your jump with the mouse before letting it go and leaping forward. And typically one of the classic entries to a building is hurling yourself directly forward and smashing through a plate glass window to enter a building, which is always really great.
Not hearing a lot about this sound effect.
Well, this is the sound effect when you smack into a wall and you don't smash through glass. All the sounds really great, but that sound effect in specific is fantastic. And it actually is mentioned by the designer, Tom Francis, who is a game journalist who has made the leap to development. They have a great director's commentary system where they're actually like, him and the artists, small pixelated representations of them are in the level as you go through it, and you just press W to talk to them. You can tell Tom Francis because he's the writer and he's holding a giant pen. The artist is holding a giant paintbrush, so you know his dialogue when you see it. But
it sounds a lot like Animal Crossing.
Yeah, basically.
Sounds a vanity project to me. I don't know, you guys.
So the jumping is cool. That's also how you take down guards, is you leap at them. You can stick to any surface. You can stick to ceilings and walls, which is a great way of avoiding detection. You also have this device, which I believe is called the Crosslink, I think. Yeah. So you press Alt, the alternate key, and you see sort of a wireframe of the building that you're in, and you see the way that all of the devices in the building electrically connect to each other. So you see a light is connected to the light switch, and you see the handprint scanner is connected to a door. And you can actually, and there's other devices like sound detectors and things like that. So you can use the Crosslink to rewire devices. So, for example, in one level, I rewired a sound detector to open a door whenever the elevator arrived. So I took the elevator up, it triggered the sound detector, a door across from me opened, and that caused the guard to go examine it, which allowed me to tackle him. There's a lot of stuff you can do with, like, when you can shut lights off that way. And when you shut a light off, the guards will always go for a switch. So you can hook that switch into a door you need to get into, or you can hook that switch into an electrical outlet and electrocute them when they try to trigger it.
This is what I want you to do, Justin.
Okay.
Now, describe everything you just described, but instead of using words, use sound effects.
Only.
Okay. Heart attack. That was the getting shot.
Right, but I don't think they have heart attacks when... I don't think people just have a heart attack when they get electrocuted and then they die.
Sometimes when they do. Gordon Bombay did.
Gordon Bombay, sure, but... What?
What?
Remember he had a heart attack.
That's immaterial of this discussion. The game has this great jazz soundtrack that it is super fun to play. It's really funny. There's some self-referential stuff. If you tackle a guard, you can punch him once to knock him out. And if you keep punching him, you'll beat him to death. And if you keep punching him past that, you get these prompts at the bottom of the screen that say, okay, he's dead. And then if you punch 10 or 20 more times, it says, oh, Jesus Christ. And then you punch 10 or 20 more times, it says, there's not an achievement for this. Seriously, you should stop. I think there's a problem. I'm making it up at this point. But there's a lot of that fun kind of stuff. And just the basic gameplay loop of like setting up a trap or figuring out your plan for infiltrating a place and then trying to execute on it is great. And, you know, knowing that the lights are going to shut off at this exact moment so you can hang on the ceiling and wait till a guy turns his back to you and then tackle him. It doesn't feel like anything else that I've played. And that is
except for Night Trap, right?
It's nothing like Night Trap, exactly.
No, you said it's a lot like Night Trap.
I said nothing of the sort. But it's really cool. It's on Steam. You can get it.
Is it on Mac?
Buy it. You know, I don't know if it is on Mac. I know. It could work on Mac. I mean, all the art is, you know, fairly simple pixel-based.
Yeah, because you know how to port a game to Mac.
No, I just mean that it's not so graphically intensive. But,
this is not okay. What you do, Justin. Don't say what developers can and can't do.
I'm not going to build walls around people if that's what you're saying.
I was.
It's $9, so okay. Just go get it. You can get it at gunpointgame.com, but go buy it, and you can have it.
Let's hear that sound effect one last time.
Heart attack.
Lovely.
Now, is Dana Plato in this one, too?
No. It's actually nothing like Night Trap.
Okay.
How did you plug the light gun into your computer?
There's no light gun. You can, if you want to, you can rewire an enemy's gun to trigger something in the building. So he tries to shoot at you and he electrocutes himself or turns the lights off, which is pretty funny.
What about the fucking security guard that's like, comes in the next day and like goes to make toast and then the elevator explodes. And he's like, what the fuck? Come on, guys. He turns on the TV to fucking catch the wheel. And he goes to turn on the TV and the garage door opens. And he's like, God damn it. And then Kevin. He goes to close the garage door and it flushes the toilet.
Who's Kevin?
Kevin from Home Alone. We are fucking just not getting on the same page at all today. What do you guys want to talk about Happy?
We can talk about Fuller.
No, we don't have this game on our list. And I'm worried we're not going to talk about it.
No,
because,
we can't talk about games during halftime.
No, I just want to mention it. I want to mention it because I don't think we're going to have time next week to talk about it. Because we're going to be talking about all that
E3 stuff. I don't care. We'll talk about it in 2 weeks.
Okay, guys, just if you're listening to this, you should probably buy State of Decay and play it because it's really
okay, we'll talk about it in 2 weeks. Shut up, Plant. God.
You know what? There you go. Now you know who doesn't like to have fun.
Guys, I just don't. I just got back from L.A. Justin and I both did.
Yeah.
And the thought of going back to L.A.
Yeah.
Bums it's such a lovely, lovely town.
Bums me out on a spiritual level. And it really shouldn't because we were in Lake Arrowhead, which is actually very, very nice. And we swung down by Newport Beach just to see if I could scratch my the OC itch.
Yeah.
We drove up past on the PCH. It was gorgeous.
Drove up PCH. Newport
Beach. Did you take
Beach.
The 10?
Yes, we took the one, but we took it 10 times back and forth.
Okay.
Newport Beach, I feel like the OC sold me a false bill of goods on the Newport Beach.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have been, but it's not all fucking yachts and lobsters.
Isn't that where Arrested Development's supposed to be set?
Yeah. Balboa Bay.
There's a lot of hippies. And then there's a lot of conservatives.
There was a lot of flies. There's a lot of flies. There's a lot of drum circling.
Oh.
I've never seen anything like Griffin and I both went in the bathroom because we'd just been driving for 2 hours. And there is literally I don't know how to describe it other than a swarm of flies like circling the middle of the room. Like you could just see people sort of walking around this cloud of bugs that had claimed dominion over this bathroom.
Let's pause for a second. You guys drove 2 hours to go to Newport Beach?
I wanted to fucking see I wanted to walk the same beach that Sandy Cohen, as his friends know him, but we're not that close, so I'll stick with his proper Christian name, or his proper Jewish name. They make a big deal out of that in the show. It's not like I wanted to put my foot in the same sand that has been blessed by Sandy Cohen's toast, by Kirsten's toast, Kiki, as her dad calls her. I just wanted to be a part of their. I wanted to be a part of their fucking world for like a second.
But you had no taste of it.
It was not shot on location, which is bananas. They shot it all in Redondo, which is like, just set the show in Redondo, you guys. If you're going to film it all in Redondo, that's like an hour north.
Why didn't
just
you...
Call, set,
Wait, didn't you, why wouldn't you just drive to Redondo?
Because I didn't Google it ahead of time. I got to Newport and I said, none of this looks familiar.
Thing I've ever
and
heard.
I Googled it and it was like, no, we just arbitrarily called it Newport Beach, though it's Redondo.
Think of all the fans that you could have been meeting in the time that you were wasting hanging out at Newport
Beach. You think there was a convention going on?
Almost like there was a convention going on.
Savvy fans who knew exactly where the show was filmed.
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm going to hit it up at E3, though. I'm going to sneak away for a bit.
That's a good idea. Dondo. It's not going to be too busy during E3, so.
I'm writing, starring in, and filming a sequel to the OC.
You should Kickstarter it.
I'm going to Kickstart it. It's going to be called The Dondo, and it's all about Redondo.
Class it up. Call it La Dondo.
La Dondo.
La Dondo, actually.
Previously on La Dondo. Oh man, would you guys watch it?
No.
I know you don't know anything about the plot, but you know where it's filmed and you know the title and you know that I'm attached to it.
And Sandy Cohen's in it.
Sandy, I'm gonna try, but Peter Gallagher's real busy.
Yeah, with his band.
And his eyebrows. Just all day, just hacking away at him. Like
he's
a bushman.
He's doing another performance of Noises Off, guys. Noises Off? Anybody?
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Is that no? Is that no? Okay.
There's a lot of
someone else talk about a video game so I can find
my
ground.
Okay, I'm going to talk about a video game now. My best thing this week is the best reason to start a forest fire.
Because it's cool to do. And
it is super cool to do.
Makes more room for buildings and roads.
That's exactly it. And if you wanted to like park somewhere, you can't just park in the forest. You got to park in a parking lot. So get that forest out of here.
Mm-hmm. Don't it always seem to go that there's just not enough parking spaces in the woods?
Yeah. You know, they've said that, like, sometimes it feels like you don't know what you have until there's a parking lot there.
Right, because you can't.
That's the weird.
You have nowhere to fucking leave your car and get out and appreciate the things that you have.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
I care a lot about worms in my apples. I am so glad that pesticides were invented.
So there's actually a game associated with this love of starting forest fires, and it's called Don't Starve. It's made by the people behind Mark of the Ninja and Eats and name another one, Plant.
Sugar Rush, Shank? That never came out.
Shank, there you Shank. Okay, so
I can't believe you guys forgot about Shank.
Yeah. So Don't Starve is sort of like Minecraft meets A Binding of Isaac. It's a roguelike where you're essentially just trying to survive. And in order to do that, you've got three statistics you need to worry about. One of them is mental state, which is based on whether there's light around you. One of them is health, which is based on people attacking you, monsters and such. And the last one is food, hence don't starve. So the light thing is what I wanted to call attention to, because essentially the game has in-game clock, and obviously night comes. And if you don't have a fire going, when night comes, you pretty much die almost instantly. Because it becomes pitch black and monsters come out and eat you and you die of fear.
Why don't they call it Don't Die?
They could have. They just went another way.
Alternatively, just live.
Yeah.
That's a positive way of looking at it.
So I was in a state where I was essentially just learning the game. A lot of the game is sort of just figuring out as you go and dying and starting from scratch and then going from there again. And I was just starting out, and it was like my second day. And the first day, I was able to get enough equipment for a fire, some logs, some flint. But on the second day, it was becoming nighttime, and I had nothing. All I had was about 10% of my torch left. You can use a hand torch to like keep fire around you and stuff like that. But it was about to run out, and night was coming. And I couldn't help but notice that I was standing in the middle of a lush, animal-filled forest. And I walked over to a tree and lit it on fire. And the tree was burning and provided much more light than my torch was providing me. And that was good, but the tree was going to go out because trees only last for a few seconds while they're on fire. But lucky for me, the fire that I lit the tree with actually spread to another tree. And another tree.
Lucky for all of us.
Lucky for all of us. And then within about a minute, there were 300 trees on fire. And essentially, I was chasing the trees that were on fire to stay in the light so that Vin Diesel wouldn't come out and kill me. And it was...
Is Vin Diesel afraid of fire, like some sort of Frankenstein monster?
No, he excels in darkness.
Oh, yeah. It was a Pitch Black goof.
Yeah, that's what that was. So,
did you, hey Griffin, when you said goof, did you use air quotes? Just wanted to make sure.
Well, it's not my fault you didn't get the reference. Come on. So
it wasn't much of a reference.
It was a deep cut. What can I say?
It was kind of like that time he was in Noises Off.
Anyway, right. What I wanted to impart is the sort of interactive, fascinating, very evolutionary gameplay in this game, where you essentially can use a lot of the environments in ways that you wouldn't imagine. Like, ordinarily, I would just go up and chop down some trees and get some wood. But what's more fun than that is starting a giant forest fire and staying alive that way. So I did, and it was awesome.
You ever play Far Cry 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't have Minecraft. Any gameplay implication at all in Far Cry 2.
What?
You can't, like, use fire. I mean, you could try to use it as a combat mechanic, but it really does not work.
I thought it was pretty invaluable.
No.
Yeah.
False.
Well, did you play on casual?
No, I played on ultra hard.
On ultra hard.
Has anyone else played this game, Don't Starve?
Yeah, I played it.
It's really good.
Yeah, I really like it. Are you wanting me to add something?
No.
It sounds interesting. Is it on iPad?
It's not. It's on Mac and PC.
You can play it on your MacBook Air.
I played it quite a bit. One of the things I really enjoyed about it was that it is a roguelike, but there is some persistence, which is sort of like the only thing I require to make a roguelike playable. There's a research machine, and I'm being general because this is how the game approaches it. There's a research machine that you can use to create new sort of recipes, new items that you can craft to help, you know, extend your lifespan. And you get research by feeding it things that it hasn't eaten yet. So each thing you find has a certain amount of science in it. You know, like you throw a pine cone in there and that gives you some research. And that's actually the research progress that you make is actually consistent between all of your playthroughs.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so research you do will actually carry over to the next one. So it gives you a little bit more structure if that's something you're interested in. It gives you a bit more structure because, you know, the next time you go back, you'll be able to make a rope or a hat or what have you.
Plant, why didn't you say that?
I didn't want to ruin the game. See, the joy of this game is not knowing any of the stuff we're talking about and going into it totally blind.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't want to spend money on a game they don't know anything about.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to spend money on Animal Crossing.
Okay, you don't have to.
It's boring sounding, and now I'm going to end up having to try it, and then I'm going to fall in love with it, and then I'm going to marry it, and then I'm going to have to say goodbye to my wife.
Oh, you're going to miss her?
I'm going to miss her a lot, but I'm going to be like, don't worry, I've got this otter, and he's philosophical, and he gave me new furniture.
I have an Animal Crossing wife.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Rachel actually got super jealous. Her name was Gail. She has since left. No, this is true. She was an alligator, or maybe a crocodile. She was pink.
Wow, you can't tell the difference?
I know. She didn't have ridges. Which one is that?
No, the crocodile has a Ruffles. Long, thin snout. It drinks a nice, thin snout.
She sent me letters every single day unprompted. Whoa. Every single day.
Whoa.
And a lot of them were just like, I found some new stationery. Do you like it? Do you like me?
Do you want to fuck?
Yeah, she wanted it.
Love Cool G.
She wanted it as bad as Xander Cage wanted it in XXX.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. It makes me so angry. Chris Plant, what are you talking about this week?
I'm bringing Best Way to Die. From a game called
Don't
The Swapper. Oh. No, The Swapper. Oh, Don't Starve is a good way to die, too. Maybe I shouldn't be so hyperbolic with my award, but I guess that's the name of the game, because it's called The Besties. So, The Swapper is a puzzle game, 2D, kind of like Gunpoint, set in space, and you are a space person, and you have a magical device called The Swapper.
Are you a guy that was born in space, or did you fly there?
You know what? I just wrote the review. I spent an absurd amount of time trying to discern whether I am playing as a man or a woman. And I went with woman, but...
So details not exactly rich in character, forced character development.
Well, you know, maybe it's kind of leaving it open so that it is a vessel for the identity you would see fit.
Maybe my
so
croco wife. Yourself. Maybe my croco wife is in there.
Maybe it's your pink crocodile wife. Gail, so you have this device, and it allows you to create up to 4 clones of yourself anywhere on the screen, and they mirror all of your actions. You also have the option to, like, swap your soul into any of those clones. So if you, like, walk, they walk. If you jump, they jump. And if you die, they die. But if they die, you don't die.
What if you race like Dominic Toretto races?
Yeah, oh, they'll race just like you, just like Paul.
Awesome.
Who's hosting this call?
Me.
Okay.
Are you trying to
figure out how you
can drop for us?
If he does one more Vin Diesel goof, that it's just like...
He really is jettisoned into the afterlife.
I'm going to wait until he mentions the Tooth Fairy, and then I'll be like, oops, The Rock, you messed up.
So you're waiting for a gross factual Vin Diesel error. Right. All of his shit has been really stupid so far, but it's been right. It's been, like, correct.
Journey to the Vin Diesel.
I want a Vin Diesel The Rock conflagration. And once that happens, I will ban him from the show and from working here.
So the swapper, you guys. You use your clones and your ability to swap into them to solve spatial puzzles. That's pretty much it. It's really simple. But what's really cool about it is it makes you kind of question life and what you're doing with it, and also your sense of identity, because oftentimes you have to solve a puzzle by jumping to your death and then at the last minute creating a clone safely on the earth below and swapping into it, and then you see your old body crumple and there's this horrible sound it makes that is the opposite of the Justin sound, that sounds like 1,000 tiny bones just snapping inwards, and it's horrible.
Can you do that with your mouth? It's pretty good. I can imagine it. Man, we're a bunch of regular Michael Winslows today.
But yeah, it's an interesting thing where I realized I probably killed like 1,000 people in this game, but the only people I killed were former versions of myself.
Whoa.
Yeah, it
sounds a lot like a movie.
All the dead bodies in your game.
It sounds like a movie that I...
Don't say The Prestige, because...
No, I wasn't going to say The Prestige. Shut up, Chris Plant.
Oh, God, that movie's
no,
so
No, he was
going
to make us think he was going to say a fucking Vin Diesel movie.
No,
go ahead
I
and
wasn't.
Do it.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't, actually. I was going to make a movie, but I hesitate saying the movie because it's kind of a major spoiler to that
Is
movie.
Is it The Prestige?
It's not.
Again, a spoiler.
Because that's the end of The Prestige.
It's a movie
I
set in space.
I spoiled it for everyone.
I mean, if they haven't seen
yeah,
it
yeah, that movie's
now,
actually good. Don't spoil that movie.
Okay. But I think the audience probably knows what I'm talking about.
But now every time somebody watches a space movie they've never seen before, they're like, is this it? Is this the one with clones?
And then they'll be surprised when it finally is. I'm talking about Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
In space. Jason X.
Also, it just feels good, as dark as it feels to see your dead body crumple. There's something like really
erotic
fun about
fun
throwing your body willy-nilly. Like, do you remember like that skate game?
Oh, yeah.
Skate?
Where you could just, like, bail on a trick and just watch your body just wreck itself.
What do you do with your body after it's lifeless?
Have sex.
Oh, it goes away. I mean, it
just goes
No,
away.
I mean,
yeah,
you
and,
personally.
And eventually it'll disappear.
Like, in real life, when you die, what happens?
Yeah, like, in real life, how you die, and then it just disappears.
And then Moira Downey comes, takes you by the hand. She uh-huh. says, I've got good news.
Uh-huh.
And then chill in heaven. You just go chill and heavy for the rest of, you know, time, I guess.
Yeah.
And your body goes in the ground and is absorbed by Mother Gaia, the live stream. And then it's reborn, but your brain is already up in heaven. So who's in your body?
Yeah.
Vin Diesel is. He's everywhere.
We should chronicle this.
Mm-hmm. What?
In like a series.
Yeah, sure.
This is an idea.
Of Chronicles.
Yep.
This is my idea for Swapper DLC.
Okay. Reddit Chronicles.
Co-op DLC. And it's another person. And you all create each of your 4 clones. And then all 10 of you die of old age in each other's arms.
This is just like The Prestige.
Do you pair off or do you...
No. It's kind of like it's a huddle of love.
Okay.
Which is the name of my reality show starring the Swapper.
What was your wasn't your best thing like best way to die?
Yeah, because that's the best way to die.
That is the best way to die. Enraptured in the loving arms of nine of you.
Hmm.
Can you think of a better way to die than that?
I guess that's pretty good.
I mean, I guess with like my family and loved ones and stuff, not just myself. This seems like
this is making me sad. I'm already sad about E3, and now I'm sad about this.
Why are you sad about E3?
Yeah, you should.
I'm not sad about E3. I'm sad about going to LA.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry, LA.
I'm a little sad.
I've done
about
all I did all the LA things that I actually like doing. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, now it's just driving.
We put our hands inside of Adam Sandler's hand marks outside of Man's Chinese Theater.
What? And, this is what?
I received the fucking quickening of comedy.
The rest of the day, Griffin was much funnier.
It channeled through me.
He was like, he looked at me dead in the eyes and he's like, shampoo is better. I'm like, don't even start.
Actually, he said, stop looking at me, Swan.
Mm-hmm.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
He's like, okay, hey, buddy, so, squeezage.
I really like. No.
We send the juice. Oh, we saw.
You put your hands in Pauly Shore's?
No, Pauly, so it's confusing. Adam Sandler did it first, then Pauly Shore took all the comedy out of there and poisoned the well with
went back in time and filmed Biodome. Mm-hmm.
My name is Riddick. I live in the dark.
Okay, I like Animal Crossing a lot, so I have to say that Griffin probably had the best thing this week.
I think that's probably fair. We've been spreading these around evenly, right? Like we discussed.
Yeah, they're pretty well distributed. Do you guys agree that Griffin probably was the best?
Which one was Griffin's?
Animal Crossing?
Oh, yeah, he probably won.
Amino Crossing. It's about...
Amino Crossing. It's the story of Gregor Mendel as he discovers genetics. That is it for our show. Congratulations to Animal Crossing and, by extension, Griffin. We wanted to invite you next week to... really a symphony of video game coverage unparalleled throughout all of history on Polygon.com.
No press.
We're just not only bringing you all the news from what looks to be the most, if I may, explosive E3 in 7 or 8 years. We're also doing live video shows every day. We're doing 11 shows altogether. We're doing a pre-show Sunday around noon.
Wait, no,
Pacific
we're doing
time.
12. Where'd you get 11?
It said in the post 11. Did you
know?
No, lie?
I wrote in the post 12, so it's 12 shows. Okay, don't so undersell our shows. Live coverage, Justin McElroy.
We're doing a live streaming show on Sunday afternoon. We're doing four on Monday to covering all the press conferences. And then we're doing morning and afternoon shows Tuesday through Thursday called High Poly in the morning and then... Wireframe in the afternoon. Those are all going to be streaming and available on the website if you miss them. That's just the video streaming shows.
Wait, you forgot
doing.
One.
Of course, we're going to... What's
happening on Friday?
Oh, that's right. The Besties. A video program that you will enjoy because we are on it and you listen to this.
Man, how are we going to edit out the self-effacing anti-Semitism that Russ Frost drops on the show every single week?
Good luck.
The answer is we are not. So there's a full schedule of video stuff on the website, polygon.com, if you want to check that out. And we've got a new hero at the top of the website with lots more.
People don't know what a hero is.
I'm telling them, you dumb motherfucker.
It's pronounced hero.
It's a hoagie, actually.
And so we got the top hoagie with all the stories in it. We got a new article page for you to enjoy. We are so ready for E3. We're going to be bringing you so much video game coverage that you're going to barf and poop at the same time. So make sure you check
make sure you're
that out.
On a toilet in front of another toilet while watching our coverage.
And make sure you join us again on Friday for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?
Besties!